All right, well, let's turn now to a deeply troubling new report about misconduct at a state drug testing lab. The report by Attorney General Maura Healey finds that Amherst chemist Sonia Farrakh got high off drugs she took from the lab nearly every day for 8 years. By the fall of 2011, Farrakh had nearly depleted the lab's stock of methamphetamines, and she even started manufacturing crack cocaine in the lab to feed her growing addiction. Now, this is the second case of misconduct by a state chemist. In 2013, Annie Ducan pleaded guilty to evidence tampering, perjury, and obstruction of justice for falsifying drug tests. Her actions may have affected up to 40,000 criminal cases in the state. And now state officials worry that the number of cases affected by Sonia Farrakh could be just as high. So to talk more about this and the potential fallout, we're joined by WBUR's legal analyst Nancy Gertner. She's a retired federal judge and Harvard Law School professor. Judge Gertner, good to have you back.
Nice to be here.
We're also joined by Boston Globe reporter Evan Allen. Evan, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
So first, let's just, Evan, if I can start with you, can you just walk us through some of the details or the highlights of Attorney General Healey's report about Farrakh's misconduct? I mean, when did it begin?
Well, it appears to have begun in around 2005. Farrakh was arrested in 2013, and initially state officials thought that her misconduct only went back as far as maybe late 2012. What this report shows is that, in fact, she was using drugs very heavily starting in 2005 and continued that for about 8 years. She started with methamphetamines, taking the standard at the lab, which means that she was consuming the drug's own supply of methamphetamine. She'd so nearly depleted
the drug's
that after
own
about
supply.
5 years.
Okay, so
the drug labs.
The drug labs own supply. These are the pure standards by which they compare the evidence that comes in. Okay. And then there's also the portion of the report that we mentioned that she was manufacturing drugs in the lab.
Yeah, she would take drugs from evidence brought in by police, and around 2012, she told investigators she felt like the supply of cocaine was dwindling coming into the lab, so she began manufacturing crack cocaine inside the lab after hours, and she would smoke it at work, occasionally at her own workspace.
Huh. And what about when she was called to testify as a witness in some of these cases?
Oh, she admit. I mean, a lot of this report is based on her grand jury testimony, and she admits to testing samples and testifying in court while under the influence of a really wide range of drugs, methamphetamines, ketamine, cocaine, other drugs. She, in fact, appears to have taken LSD at one point before testing samples.
Hmm. Now, Evan, you know, we mentioned that she's an Amherst state chemist, but I understand that she trained in Hinton, the same place where Annie Ducan worked?
Correct, yeah. She was only there for a short period of time, and they didn't overlap by a huge amount. But Annie Ducan actually was one of the people interviewed for this report, although she said they did not work closely and she didn't really have any information on any of Farrakh's misconduct.
Hmm. Well, that's Evan Allen, reporter for the Boston Globe, bringing us up to speed on the report from Attorney General Maura Healey about misconduct at the state drug lab. Evan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, Nancy, so let me turn to you. How far-reaching could this be?
Well, so you start with what the government typically wants to see, which is, you know, the aberrant individual sort of tippling on the job. This is obviously more than the aberrant individual. This is a sustained use of drugs. And in order to get the drugs that she needed, she would take it from what were the standard drugs by which other drugs were tested until she depleted that supply, raising the question of how did it come to pass that no one noticed that the supplies were being depleted. The report talks about her sealing evidence bags in such a way so that she could reopen them to take the drugs out, and then sealing them back up again with the original weight on them. They talk about issues with respect to evidence bags that came from the Springfield police and one officer in particular that she knew would be loosely closed. Mm. So the sustained nature of her use and the way she did it and the fact that she did it on the job raises fundamental questions about the integrity of the lab.
Yeah, I mean, fundamental questions such as, how did nobody notice for so long? Right. And if nobody noticed, why?
Right. I mean, in other words, if this were 1 year, it would be one thing, but this is now sustained use on the job, basically addressing the supplies in the office, addressing the standards in the office, and really goes just dramatically to the integrity of the process. The report talks about the fact that the Amherst lab got spillover cases from the Hinton lab when the Hinton lab was overloaded. So we're talking about misconduct that affects a dramatic number of cases. If there was just one case, if you were arrested, heaven forbid, and you had someone who was manipulating the drug supply, the lawyers would immediately move to dismiss. And if it's one case, you'd say, well, okay, this is really goes to the integrity of the process. The government has been resistant to saying the same thing about these cases. That is to say that they ought to be dismissed. Mm-hmm. This is not how do we, you know, determine what's legitimate in the midst of this morass. These are cases that simply need to be dismissed. And that's what the court should do.
That's what you think they should do. But we're talking about potentially, I mean, as we mentioned with Annie Dukan, it was, they're thinking 40,000 or so cases.
Right.
It could be just as many here. I mean.
Right. But I mean, it's an ironic position, which is to say that that the scope of the problem and the scope of the taint is such that we should therefore ignore it. If it were an individual case, we'd dismiss. But since it's so many, we won't. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the reverse. It seems to me the remedy ought to be as broad as the depth of the taint.
Right. Well, we've got some tape here from Governor Charlie Baker speaking about this issue and this new report today. He was in an outdoor event in Jamaica Plain, so it's a bit windy in the tape. But the governor said that state police, he believes, have actually done a great deal to improve protocols at the state's crime lab. So let's listen.
But we certainly believe we are going to have a big responsibility to work with the courts and with others to make sure that people who are affected by this have the appropriate opportunity to engage that conversation. And we fully expect we're going to be doing that for the next several months.
Does that mean putting resources aside?
We're certainly going to have to put resources into this because a lot of cases are affected by it, yeah.
It's not clear what resources or how they'd actually go about doing this. But again, I mean, there's no conversation there, Nancy Gertner, about what you're suggesting, which is just to dismiss all these cases out
right.
of hand.
Right. So we have the model of the Dukan cases. In the Dukan cases, individual defendants had to figure out whether or not Dukan was involved in their case. Individual lawyers had to do that sometime years after the trial, reconstructing what had gone on. Finally, the SJC said, you know, this is ridiculous. The government has to identify all of the government has to take this on as an affirmative responsibility, not an individual decentralized process here, and that they had to do it within a finite period of time, identify everyone who had been touched, whose cases had been tainted by Dukan, and then those people would come forward and there would be a presumption that they would be dismissed. It was still going to be case by case, which is enormously costly for the system. The question is whether with Farrakh now, given the length of time, we should as a system respond and say, who are the people affected? If her name is on the report, or indeed the next category is whether or not, since she tainted other people's supplies, her name being on the report may not be sufficient. The question is what you do about others whose drugs were tested in the lab at the same time to which she may have had access. She has tainted the standards by which the drugs are judged. So in a situation like this, it may be least costly for the system and most appropriate to say Farrakh cases should be dismissed. Well, that the integrity of the system is so undermined.
Well, so do you think that, am I hearing you correctly? Do you think that, does that obviate the need for a new independent investigation here? I mean, because there was one, as you mentioned, following the revelations about Annie Dukan, or if the dismissal outright would mean that we wouldn't need an investigation to follow the traces of all those cases.
Well, it's a question of what you do. So let's say you have a case in which you have a lab report with her name on it. It seems to me that that's a lab report that can't be trusted.
Right.
We can't trust the drugs that she had in the lab under those circumstances. The case may not be able to be remedied on an individual basis. It may be that those cases you say the integrity of the process is so undermined they have to be dismissed. Mm-hmm. Then there is someone whose drugs were tested while she was there and may have had access to other people's evidence bags. Well, there may be an issue about that. But with respect to those that have her name on it, it seems to me that we can't have a system. I mean, in drug cases, the principal evidence is the drugs.
Right.
And if you can't trust that test, then what else are you going to trust?
So on that point, let me ask you. I mean, with the case of Annie Dukan, it was disturbing enough that one person was having such an effect on tens of thousands of cases. Now we have another one. In another and many more tens of thousands of cases. I mean, there was a lot of thought and debate and work done on protocols at the state crime labs following Annie Dukan. But I'm wondering, do you feel like it's time for, I don't know, a third party, an independent arbiter, some sort of a stem to stern analysis of all the activities and all the protocols at the state drug labs, so that going forward, and this is a process that may take years, that the trust can be rebuilt?
Well, you know, first of all, you have to recognize this is not sophisticated science. This is really not sophisticated. This is not like DNA or ballistic testing. This is very straightforward science. And if we can't get the protocols right with respect to this, then we're really in trouble. The Maura Healey's report talks about an accreditation process that didn't take place until I think it was 2012. And so one question is whether accreditation would have made a difference here, would have obviated some of the problems that we see. But yes, we have to look at this top to bottom. We have to ask, I mean, candidly, does it raise broader questions about the drug war and whether we should be prosecuting people for small quantities? Maybe part of the issue here was the scope of the amount of work that they had to do because mm-hmm. we so overdid the drug war.
Well, Nancy Gertner is WBUR's legal analyst and a retired federal judge, a professor also at Harvard Law School. Judge Gertner, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a bit. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.